Welcome to the Wine or Milk podcast, where each week we rewatch and review nostalgic movies and media from our childhood to see if they age like wine or milk. I'm Jess.
And I'm Kyle.
And this week we're going to be watching Matilda.
I only think I've seen this like one time, but I'm pretty pumped to see it again because I'm like, you know, it's one of those fun ones where I'm going in wicked blind, but I have nostalgia for it. So it's a fun combo.
I just remember it being super cute. And the main character is easily lovable.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And you're highly rooting for her because her, like, stepfamily or adoptive family, whatever they are, they're, like, totally evil. And yeah. So is the headmistress or whatever that she deals with.
Yeah, that's what I remember is, like, it's about a girl who's, like, maybe magical and all the adults around here suck.
Pretty much.
And it's important to note, too, that this is actually our second listener episode. We were... recommended, requested, told, no.
Demanded
to watch this classic film from Jenna in Massachusetts. So thank you for the recommendation. And if you have any of your own recommendations, please feel free to reach out to us to let us know, because we'll be doing another listener episode in February.
Pretty exciting stuff. Because again, like you were saying last week, I love this movie as a kid. I don't remember it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I never would have thought about it on my own, but it's a great one for us to rewatch.
Yeah. It's so nostalgic. It's a really fun kids movie, and it has a really solid cast from what I'm remembering.
I mean, it was directed by and starring Danny DeVito, so...
And produced by...
What more do you need from a movie?
So I'm also seeing one of the producers is named Felicity Dahl, and it is based on the book Matilda by Roald Dahl. Do you think there's any relation there?
I think there's definitely a relation there, yes.
Dahl's not like a super common last name. Oh my goodness. So it says, Wikipedia is saying that Felicity Dahl is a British film producer who married the children's author Roald Dahl in 1983. So that's very interesting.
Yeah. So.
Produced by his wife.
Related by blood. Nope.
Nope.
By marriage.
but yeah, like I said, really all I remember is mean adult magical girl.
There's something with chocolate cake.
Does she make it, like, float and drop it on the mean headmistress's head or something?
On the mean.
the mean headdress. Oh, my God.
I think her name is Mrs. Trumbull.
Mrs. Trumbull.
Or Headmistress Trumbull or something like that.
I mean, like, I literally am just going in so blind. I literally only think I've seen this one time.
There's, like, a closet, too, that they lock kids in when they're bad.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember that? There's, like, a room that they send them to.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're really mean. Wow. Like, the adults that she has to fight against are actually horrible people.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm rooting for her even more now.
I think, too, like, she loves her teacher, and her teacher ends up adopting her at the end.
Oh, that's nice. I like those.
Yeah. I think it's her biological family, but she was, like, born into a family of villains, essentially. But she's a good person.
Was she swapped at birth? Did they steal her?
I don't know, because I don't think her family's magical, but she is.
I'm interested to see how magic is incorporated into this film.
I feel like there's something with cake. I know there's got to be something with cake. I remember there being a really big chocolate cake. And if there isn't, and I'm not remembering this movie, then I don't know what the hell I'm thinking of.
Well, I'm thinking, like, what is the lore of magic? How does it fit into this world? Are there other magical people? Is she an anomaly? Is she a mutant? Is this an X-Men prequel and we just never knew?
I think she's a mutant and she was born like magical as a baby.
Okay, so it is an X-Men prequel?
It is, okay. For sure.
Dope.
I don't know any of the X-Men characters to make a joke, to be honest. I just thought about it for a minute. I'm like, I don't know anyone.
Jean Grey.
Mystique as a character, right?
Yeah, but she's the blue girl that changes skin.
Well, Matilda wears a lot of blue, so she does. Maybe there's a magical accident and then her dress gets stuck on her skin or something. I don't know.
Oh, man. Matilda is also played by Mara Wilson, who we've seen before in, oh my gosh, Mrs. Doubtfire. And
Mrs. Doubtfire all grown up.
Mrs. Doubtfire all grown up. Well, like 2 years later. And she like nearly stole the show. She was so adorable. So
oh, that's why I think Matilda's gonna be great. She's gonna crush the role. And I am excited to see Danny DeVito, because I think I remember his character being like very funny but also very evil.
It's gonna be hard for me to see Danny DeVito outside of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia now, because he's been doing that for so long. I like in my head, that's just who he is now. He's just, like, the dude on Always Sunny.
Yeah, pretty much. I can see that. It's going to be weird seeing him do kids' humor.
Yeah, right? Like, it's really very disparate from what his recent work has been. So that'll be interesting.
What I'm excited to see, too, is Roald Dahl does a great thing where he can make very scary villains kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And, like, he makes them so ridiculous that it's very accessible for kids.
It's kind of like the ridiculous spell in Harry Potter.
A little bit. I was thinking he's kind of like a little bit more sinister of a Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, a little bit. I think what is fun about Roald Dahl is it's like a little bit of nonsense, mm-hmm. but still has a story, whereas Dr. Seuss is almost entirely nonsense. You know, both of them, I think, have their own charms and quirks. But also Roald Dahl is obviously known for much longer stuff than Dr. Seuss as well.
True, true. We have time to develop characters and stories and things like that. So, I don't know. I'm just really excited. I'm excited to see what the chocolate cake is going to be about. That's really the one thing I'm perseverating on right now.
Yeah. And, you know, I've said this a bunch of time in our previous episodes. I think there's something to movies that we've watched that have been based on books. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see if this one is able to, you know, really pull from that source material and elevate the movie.
Mm-hmm. I think media as a kid made me way more scared about going to the principal's office and also made me feel like I was going to get bullied and targeted by people. And I really, mm-hmm. luckily, fortunately, was not really my experience.
Yeah.
But I feel like all this 90s media prepared me for that.
Oh, my God. Bullies were everywhere in the 90s. It was just like everybody was a bully. Just bullies all the time. That was like the most common villain in everything.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever go to the principal's office as a kid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
For what?
A few times. I don't know.
You don't remember why you went to the principal's office?
I mean, I got detention a couple times. I was suspended in high school.
That doesn't
for my senior prank. So I had to go to the principal's office a lot for that.
I already know what it was, but I feel like you're saying it like you want me to ask.
No, I don't.
What you did.
And then in college, I was protesting the college principal. They don't have principals, but the chancellor a lot.
That's so much more impressive and much more legit.
You know,
than lots your of that. High school prank.
But no, yeah, I was in my brother was in the principal's office a whole lot. He was one of those kids that kind of got like targeted by the faculty.
Mm-hmm.
Like one time he opened his yogurt lid. You know how sometimes when you open yogurt, it like shoots out a little bit.
Yeah.
And like a little like drop of yogurt got on his friend's sweatshirt. And the teacher saw that and thought my brother did it on purpose and sent him to the principal.
Seems like a bit of an overreaction.
Yeah. And that was happening like all the time to him. So brother was Matilda.
Way to just rat out your brother and
I'm not ratting him out. I'm coming to his defense. He was unjustly targeted by the administration of our, what is the smallest, elementary school.
He should have, for his elementary school prank, he should have made a chocolate cake explode.
He should have.
Or convinced people he had magical powers and he was going to get retribution.
He probably tried. but I think you said you weren't a principal's office kid.
Oh, no, I would have been, you know, that little closet in Matilda that I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
My parents would have created one of those in our house and put me in there.
If you had ever gone.
Principal's office, probably.
I got injured a lot. I was a nurse's office kid.
Oh, that's even worse.
No, but it was like real injuries. Like one time I shut my fingers in this gigantic, huge metal door. It really hurt. And then I fell off the merry-go-round,
mm-hmm.
and then I broke both my wrists at the same time.
I would go to the nurse for that. I think that's a good usage of the nurse.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
Anyway, we're way off topic.
One time I went to the nurse and I told her I had a sore throat because I didn't want to be in class anymore. And like that was a big deal for me because I didn't like to lie. And they sent me home early because strep was going around, but I didn't have a sore throat. But then they told me I had to go to the doctor and get a strep test before I could come back.
Oh, wow.
And my mom took me and I did have strep throat.
Oh, my God.
And then I was like, this is what you get for lying.
Yeah. What is it? The secret? You put it out there and then you made it reality.
I know. I had no symptoms, though. And I got to stay home, though, for a couple days. I had the pink bubblegum flavored medicine.
Oh, that was the best.
The cold one.
I always used to try to pretend I was sick by taking the thermometer and putting it against our light bulbs.
People only do that in the movies. You really did that?
I literally did that, yeah, to try and make my temperature look like it was bigger. But I always try to take it off early because if my temperature was too high, then I would have to be in bed all day.
You're a little shit.
Anyway,
you should have been at the principal more is what I'm gathering.
We've totally lost the plot. So we're going to watch Matilda. How do you think this one is going to age? Since we're both going in so blind, it's kind of, you know.
I don't know. Mara Wilson and Danny DeVito and Roald Dahl. Like, I feel like it's got to be a wine. Those three, it's a trifecta of children's movies.
Yeah. I think what's tough is it is a children's movie. So those can kind of go either way, depending on how the director at the time tried to handle it. Like mm-hmm. what direction were they going with the plot and stuff? And how did they appeal to children? I think something that has me a little worried. A little bit worried is that it had a budget of $36 million, but its box office only brought in $33.5 million. I think this is the first movie that we've covered that didn't make its money back at the box office. So that's got me a little worried.
What came out in August 1996? So what was happening then?
Maybe my brother was about 3 months old.
Yeah, so that everyone was busy visiting your brother. They didn't have time to go to the movie theater. You know?
It's very probable.
Yeah, I think something must have been happening.
So, yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I'm worried.
I believe in our listener.
That this could be a milk. I'm worried about it.
Okay, well, you go worry over there and I'll go drink wine over here.
Anyway, give us some facts about this movie.
Matilda, directed by Danny DeVito. Daniel DeVito, some might call him.
Is it? Hold on, I'm gonna look. Oh my gosh, yeah, he is a Daniel DeVito.
And a junior, actually.
Oh wow, look at that.
Daniel DeVito Jr. Produced by Danny DeVito, Michael Schamberg, Stacey Scherr, and Felicity Dahl. Screenplay by Nicholas Kazan and Robin Swickard. Based on the book Matilda by Roald Dahl. Starring Danny DeVito, Rhea Perlman, M. Beth Davids, Pam Ferris, and Mara Wilson. Music by David Newman.
Who did the cinematography?
Steven Szaszpski.
Szaszpski. I had to say so many of those like Polish last names when we did the Rugrats movie. I just wanted you to.
I feel bad because I actually do feel bad because if I was going to read it, I should have looked at his pronunciation. So.
No, that was a rude trick of me.
That was a little mean, but.
Oh, he's German-born Ukrainian-American cinematographer. And he worked on Stefan Edward Scissorhands.
Szaszpski.
Ooh, Stefan like
Szaszpski.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with that. And it came out on August 2nd, 1996.
And
it's 98 minutes long, which is hour and 38 minutes. 98 minutes, hour 38.
One of these days, you got to just like give me the time to try and develop it and see if I can do it.
I'll get flashcards and we can like just train
oh my
you
God.
on converting times. Minutes to hours and minutes.
Oh my God. That's actually a really good idea.
You're pretty really good at math too, so I don't understand how this keeps tripping you up.
I don't know what it is.
It's the 60 minute intervals.
It is.
Anyway, that is Matilda. I'm thinking it's going to be a wine. Kyle is nervous and worried. What is your official? Are you going to go full milk?
You know what? I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to say I think it's going to be a milk, but I'd love to be surprised.
You love to be a contrarian.
It's just that budget really is making me worried. I'm worried about it.
There are so many movies, though, that don't do well in the box office and then become cult classics.
Yeah. And so maybe this one is a cult classic.
Didn't Hocus Pocus? You were talking about how we haven't had a movie that did that, and I think Hocus Pocus did that.
Nope, just looked it up. Hocus Pocus did make a profit. So I do think that this is the first time that we've ever had a movie that didn't make its money back. So I'm just a little worried. It's got me a little nervous.
You're too into the money and not into the spirit.
Well, that's all I have to go off of. I saw it when I was like 7. I don't know.
And how did it make you feel?
I literally can't remember. So yeah, Matilda, pumped to go watch it. Let's see how it aged. And thank you for the suggestion, Jenna. So, Mrs. Trunchbull is so gross.
Yeah, and this Trunchbull, not Trumbull. I was close, though.
You were really close. I'm really impressed with how close you were.
You know why I thought it was Trumbull?
I don't.
Because when we were dating back in the day, and I had to drive from New Jersey to Massachusetts to visit you, when I go through Connecticut, there's a Trumbull Street exit on the Merritt, and it always made me think of Matilda.
Oh, wow.
Because I guess because it was close enough, and then in my head, it just became Trumbull.
Yeah,
well, but it's Trunchbull.
You are really, really close, but yeah, it's Agatha Trunchbull,
and she's revolting.
She's wicked revolting. I have no idea what the actor looks like in real life, but they did at the very least in the movie they did a great job making her horrifying and disgusting and like everything negative.
She
the way she ate that chocolate haunts me.
I knew you were going to hate that scene of her up close and personal biting into the chocolate.
I'm like nauseous thinking about it right now. I'm like having a hard time recording.
She reminds me of, you know, Wormtail from the Harry Potter series. How he's just like disgusting.
Yeah.
Kind of similar.
Yeah, like they gave feelings. they gave her like little like scabby looking things on her face and stuff. Blah, blah,
blah, blah. And her teeth looked like it had perpetual like brown juice in it.
Yeah. Oh, we have to stop. I'm like getting nauseous. This is so gross.
Probably not a great listening experience for people either.
Yeah. Woof. So yeah. That was gross. But on a positive side, on like a movie experience side of things, like it was good movie magic, you know? It was disgusting. It was unpleasant. But that was a good thing in the grand scheme of things because it was well done.
I think they wanted you to be disgusted.
Yeah, imagine if that was unintentional.
I would feel very sad. Because then maybe you'd just straight up insulting the actor.
That wouldn't be great.
For their looks, too, on top of that.
And their eating. The eating. That's legit.
I think that the show was trying to also, or the movie, was trying to make people who were not great people not look too great.
I thought Danny DeVito was just like straight up a hottie in this movie.
I mean, he was with his blonde hair. I don't know. I think they were trying to personify people's evil on the outside.
Oh, definitely.
Which I have like some issues with, but
it makes it easy if you're a little kid to know.
Yeah, but it teaches you stereotyping.
It does. That's a fair point. One thing I just remembered though, when you mentioned that, or when you incorrectly said show versus movie, I was reading online that apparently their Netflix picked up the rights to this movie and they're making a new one. So,
oh,
might be having a new Matilda coming out soon. I wonder if they'll bring Mara Wilson in and she can do a role.
She is Matilda, though.
She crushed it. Holy crap. She was adorable. She was so good.
I can't imagine anyone else playing her role.
I like want her to be my kid. Magic and all.
I mean, pretty dope.
It would be dope, actually. You can be like, hey, can you just, like, get that window?
Can you shut that? Or, like, no one would have to turn the light off at night and get back up out of bed.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing. Did she need to be within eyesight of something to magic it?
I don't know.
It was not established. Because we only ever saw her work magic on things she could see.
Yeah, I'd assume that as of right now, then, that's probably the case. Otherwise, she wouldn't have had to go to Trunchbull's house to do all the magic.
Because it would be helpful if you could be like, hey, just get all the lights when we're like upstairs in bed. Bam, everything.
Or like when you drive away and you think you forgot to turn the garage door shut so they could just close the door.
Every day. As 100% of the days.
She could just shut the door, you know? We would have to go back.
That would be the single most useful part of Matilda's powers for us, would be literally closing the garage door.
Pretty good first world problems to be having, of all things.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Or if we're out to eat whenever that's allowed, 2034, and waiter's trip, she could manifest nice tarts on our plates.
Well, that I thought that was a hint to her being magical early in the movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
Even though she wasn't out.
It's like when Harry Potter, like, magically can make stuff happen, like the glass of the anaconda thing go away so Dudley falls in.
It's a boa constrictor.
Whatever.
In case you were wondering.
Anyway, how you feeling? How you feeling about a quick rundown?
Give it to me. Break it down.
Break it down.
Don't do that.
Okay.
Just tell me what happened.
Gonna do it in musical form.
Oh my god, can you imagine? Can you make a rap summary once for all of the things that happened?
I was gonna like say if like some like big milestone happened, maybe I would do it, but I'm still, even then, I can't think of something that would be big enough that it would be unlikely that I would have to do it, because I don't really want to have to do that.
Lots of rhyming.
Anyway, so
what if you just do a dramatic telling?
I'm not very good at that. I don't know. I'm just gonna go through. I'm gonna tell you about this film, and then we will discuss it together. How does that sound?
Sounds like the use.
Okay, so. Cool. So we're gonna do that. One thing that was really fun about this movie, there was an opening credits, I think, but it was like basically non-existent and just like put some names on the screen. Nothing to write home about. But one thing that was neat is they had you know, I talk about this all the time. Movies with books and how they incorporate the source material. What was neat about this one is I think all of the narration, I believe it was done by Danny DeVito,
mm-hmm.
and it seemed like it was passages right from the book, or very, very heavily, what is the word I'm looking for? Influenced by the book? Inspired by the book.
You got there. I words. I think, no, so the narrator was very good, and it took me until, 20 minutes into the movie to realize the narrator was Danny DeVito.
Yeah, because he wasn't, doing his Danny DeVito voice. He was doing,
his reading to a kid voice.
A very comforting reading to a kid voice.
Yeah.
Which was very weird. I'm used to him, yelling with an accent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, even, in the Hercules movie, where he's the voice of Phil.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that until now, yeah. Yeah, I'm used to Phil voice.
Yelling. There's a lot of yelling, usually.
And this one was very calming and soothing, and he was like, Matilda was born. And you're like, oh, this is so cozy. But it was really cool. And it kind of made me think, because he directed and produced and starred and all of this stuff. I wonder what his inspiration was for making this movie. It just, for me, it was like a different side of Danny DeVito. It wasn't funny or yelly and stuff like that. It was patriarchal in a way, which just feels out of character for that dude.
You mean paternal?
No. Isn't the word I said a real word?
Patriarchal is, but patriarchal is
I don't know, man.
Paternal is more comforting, caring, sure, that fatherly.
One. Yeah, that one.
I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, maternal, paternal. Paternal, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe even nocturnal. Who knows?
If it's a bedtime story, maybe.
That's fair. It's a good one. Anyway. What are we doing? Rundown. Yep. Let's give me that
Tell
rundown.
Tell me what happened.
So, we get that narration, and Danny's telling us that everybody is born, and we see this scene of a little girl getting born. Well, we don't, see
everything.
Yeah, it's
just a little, it starts with baby eyeballs.
Baby eyeballs. We get baby eyeballs.
She's already born.
And then we are introduced to, very, very baby Matilda, and then her father, Harry Wormwood, and her mother, Zinnia Wormwood. And immediately, we are told that they are cheapskates.
They're and bad parents.
And terrible parents. They're, trying to, haggle with the hospital to get it cheaper. I mean, to be fair, healthcare in America, right?
But I didn't take that as a cheapskate bit.
Well, they were,
healthcare is overrated in America.
Overrated?
Not healthcare is overrated, but health, the cost of healthcare is overrated.
Yeah. Apparently, it, cost them $5,000 for the birthing
and
stuff.
That's my favorite joke of the whole movie.
Yeah, and he says, $5,000? What are they going to do? Repo the kid? And so they, run out of the hospital. They put Matilda in her car seat and then just put it in the trunk and drive away. So as they're speeding away, she's,
bouncing
sliding and bouncing all over
stuff.
Yeah. And then they literally forget that she's in the car. So right away, like Jess said, they're not very strong parents. But the narrator lets us know that from a very young age, she is extraordinary. She's taking care of herself. She's doing things that are significantly advanced, like writing her own name at 6 months old in her baby food.
Mm-hmm. Very impressive.
She makes her own pancakes and stuff. So she's doing all of these very adult things and taking care of herself from a very young age.
Yeah. While her dad sells used cars.
Yep.
Her mom plays bingo and her older brother, Michael, goes to school.
Yep.
And Matilda stays home and signs for the packages.
And so she, which is ridiculous, but so she's 3 or 4 and she discovers reading. She finds an old magazine or something and reads through it and then gets hooked. And so as she grows up, she gets more and more into it. And eventually she discovers the library. So every day she walks herself to the library, just sits there and reads everything she can and then walks home.
Having fun isn't hard. When you've got a library card.
That is Matilda's life. But she doesn't know about library cards. The kindly lady at the librarian at the library tells her about library cards. And she's like, you can bring books home.
If only Whoa. She just eased up on the reading of magazines and put the TV on and watched Arthur. And she would have known about this sooner.
She would have, yeah. See, TV can be helpful.
She doesn't like TV, but that would have taught her a lot.
And we also get a really nice message from the narrator that says, kind of saying why Matilda might have liked books so much. And he says that books gave a hopeful and comforting message. You are not alone. Which is very sweet. Cut forward a little bit more. And she's asking to go to school, I believe. Yep. And her parents are like, no, you're only four. Why would you go to school? And she's like, I'm six and a half. I'm supposed to be in school. And they're like, you're not six and a half. You're four. That was a really funny scene.
Yeah, they're like going through the household.
And then they were like haggling. Yeah, how like, old?
Maybe you're five. I don't know.
She's like, I'm six and a half. Five. Six and a half. Five and a half. It was really good. So we just kind of get all these scenes of her taking care of herself, her parents not valuing her, reading lots of books, being really advanced. She, like, can do math in her head really, really well. Oh, yeah. Like
she does her dad's, like, bills for the day, or, like, adds up his profit in her head when her brother needs a calculator.
And then Matilda kind of, like, gets in trouble, and her dad accidentally says, he says when a child is bad, but what he, or excuse me.
He said when a person is bad.
When a person is bad, what he meant to say when a child was bad. And that made Matilda realize that she was a person. And it also gave her the revolutionary idea that children could punish their parents for doing bad things. And so this kind of starts a theme of her whole movie, where she's punishing parents and adults for misbehaving or acting unethically.
Because her dad said when a person is bad, they need to be punished.
Yep.
Instead of when a child is bad, they need to be punished.
And she was like, oh my God, people, like adults can get punished. And that
this is an origin story for the Punisher, actually.
Yes,
that's
exactly
what this movie is.
So
she just goes on like doling out retribution for people the rest of the film, basically.
Basically. So Matilda's dad, he punishes Matilda by like ripping up her Moby Dick book, which was really upsetting to her, which was the library's book, too. And so she goes into his room while he's sleeping and swaps out his hair oil for peroxide, which ends up bleaching it when he puts it in. And we also get introduced to the idea that the FBI is investigating her dad for selling illicit car parts and also like selling cars fraudulently by like super gluing the bumper onto the onto the car instead of actually fixing it and stuff to run up the cost.
Mm-hmm. And he like turns the odometer back on cars and says they have less mileage than they do, which I didn't. Can you actually do that?
My very first car, you could actually drive it in reverse and the odometer would go backward.
Like Ferris Bueller's Day Off style.
Yeah, I tested it because I was curious. I reversed around the block and I got it to go down by 0.1 mile.
I thought you were going to have reversed for over a mile in your neighborhood. I was like, that seems kind of dangerous and risky and stupid for no reason.
No, I just wanted to see if it would do it. So anyway, Matilda sees her dad. He brings her to work. She sees him being bad at work. So she's like, hey,
scamming people.
You're a crook and this is illegal. Can't you just like sell good cars? And he's like, no, I can't. And so as this is happening, Matilda's mom shows up from bingo because she got double bingo. And so she's taking the whole family out to lunch. And while that's happening, Matilda super glues her dad's hat, which he then puts onto his head. So it's super glued and like fused into his head,
mm-hmm.
Which was really cool. They had a good little bit of continuity. Later on in the movie, he has a rim, like a ring around his head where his hair is missing from the super glue.
I didn't catch that. That's kind of cool. Yeah, the super glue doesn't really come off and he has to get it ripped off. So this is two strikes against Mr. Wormwood now.
Yep.
And the third strike, that's the end of the rope for her dad.
So a few more scenes of, you know, rocky home life. And then we get the scene of her dad at work selling a car to someone much, much taller than him. But a woman talking about how she's the principal at a school and her philosophy on punishing children, basically.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds great to Matilda's dad. So they end up sending Matilda to this school of the woman that he just sold a car to.
You did miss one thing right before she gets to the school being punished.
Mm-hmm.
Matilda like gets upset at her dad and basically makes the TV explode with her mind.
Oh, yeah. She does do a magic.
That's when they kind of hint that she might be magical and that she's using more of her brain than other people. Because most people only use a tiny portion of their brain. So that's just like kind of the first hint that she might be a little magical.
Yes, thank you for catching that.
Yeah.
So the school is called Crunchin Hall, which is also disgusting. And immediately we get introduced to Agatha Trunchbull, who is a horrifying woman. There's this little girl, Amanda Thripp, with these very cute little pigtails. And Ms. Trunchbull hates that, asks Amanda why she has them in, calls her mom like an idiot, basically,
mm-hmm.
and then hammer throws Amanda Thripp, this 5-year-old child,
itty bitty cutie,
by her pigtails over the fence of the school.
That's an impressive throw.
It was impressive. It was an athletic feat, but also not, I mean, like, you can't do that. That's not okay.
I wonder, like, if someone were to actually attempt that, if their hair would just rip out before you launch them over the fence, you know?
Probably, yeah.
Unrealistic portrayal.
Well, maybe the braids, you know, really help keep it all together. It's possible.
Either way, it's horrifying.
And I think we should test.
It's a CPS report waiting to happen.
For sure. As well as a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
The fact that she walks around with a riding crop to whip her children with.
The fact that she has a room in her office called the Chokey, which is full of broken glass and nails sticking out, where you have to stand in it to be punished.
Under, like, a drippy pipe or something, yeah.
Yeah, but that's also a CPS report waiting to happen.
But anyway,
Any of your students or your children's teachers have something in their office called a Chokey,
probably should call the authorities.
Please file a complaint.
So Matilda goes to class and we meet her teacher, Miss Honey. And...
Honey.
Sure.
You are my candy girl.
That song wasn't in the movie, right?
No.
I didn't think so. It should have been, though.
Miss Honey's overrated.
She was okay. Opinion. She was all right. But we get a scene of them doing their multiplication tables. And I don't remember why this is said, but... Miss Honey says, like, 13 times 379, which Matilda gets correct. And Miss Honey's like, holy crap, this girl is smart. Mm-hmm. So she goes to the principal, Miss Trunchbull, and she's like, hey, I think this kid's wicked smart. We should, like, invest in her, basically. And Miss Trunchbull's like, we don't do that, as she's throwing darts at a dartboard with this picture of students on it.
I saw that. Insanity.
So Miss Honey is convinced that she needs to do something to invest in Matilda's learning. So she goes over to the Wormwoods house and says that Matilda could get into college in like a couple of years, which is wild because she's 6 and a half. But the parents are like, no, go away. College is for idiots, basically.
Yeah. Her mom is like, you went to college and look at you. I married for looks, and look at me. I have a beautiful house and a wonderful husband and a beautiful family.
And a great accent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're like, no. But Miss Honey leaves, and she leaves Matilda a nice little book.
Mm-hmm. Wind in the Willows.
Cut forward to the next day at school, and there is a school assembly, and this is where we get the horrifying chocolate cake scene.
I knew that there was something with chocolate cake. I, like, blocked out what it was because it was horrifying. But so, I knew there was something to it.
So apparently this kid took a piece of Ms. Trunchbull's chocolate cake. Ms. Trunchbull, to punish him, makes him eat a whole, like, slice of chocolate cake. And then brings out 2 full chocolate cakes and makes him eat both of them.
Like, this scene was awful. Enormous cake. It made my stomach hurt. And I was actually craving chocolate before we started watching this movie. And after this scene, I was like, I'm going to vomit.
Yeah. So the kid does pretty good. He has like a couple bites left and he's really fading. And Matilda jumps up and cheers for him in subordination. But she cheers for him and that gives him a second wind and he is able to eat all of the cake, which was kind of insane.
Mm-hmm.
Back to to Matilda's house. And we said earlier that apparently the FBI was investigating her dad for his car parts. Well, there are some people parked outside and it's the FBI. Which Matilda tells her parents. Her parents are like, no, those are speedboat salesmen. Matilda realizes again that she's magic, and she tries to do magic for Miss Honey, but she's, like, unable to do it. But then Miss Honey tells Matilda that Miss Trunchbull actually, like, lives near the school, and there was this dad, and she was the aunt, and the mom died, and so the dad brought the aunt in to take care of the little girl, but then the dad died mysteriously, and then the little girl was left with Miss Trunchbull, and then she ran away and got a little cabin and filled it with flowers, and then as they're walking, they go to said cabin with flowers. So we learn that Ms. Honey is actually Ms. Trunchbull's niece.
Yes, yes. And now Ms. Trunchbull also super hates Matilda because Matilda, like, dumped a newt on her with her magic powers. So now there's, like, some beef, too.
Yes. And apparently Ms. Honey's like dad and family was like pretty wealthy. They had a very nice big house and all these treasures, and she had to leave them behind, and that was upsetting and stuff.
Because she like fled Trunchbull's guardianship basically as soon as she could.
Yep. And so they observe Ms. Trunchbull driving away, and so Matilda's like, well, let's go in the house. Let's get you some of your stuff back. Unfortunately, Ms. Trunchbull bought her car from Matilda's dad, so it literally doesn't work. It breaks down very soon after leaving, so she comes home and almost catches them. We have like this whole Terminator-style chase scene of Ms. Trunchbull. She literally jumps off the second floor of her house and like lands in the foyer of the first floor and like almost breaks the whole house with her landing.
As a kid growing up, I thought that I was going to have to hide from people more often than I actually do. I had like a lot of weird fears as a kid because of movies and TV. Like I thought I'd have to sneak through a house without getting caught.
I like how they had that staircase with all of like the pots and pans on it. Because like multiple of my family members had that out of their kitchen for whatever reason.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Like an abandoned staircase that was just storage?
Yeah.
I've never seen that before in my whole life.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah. Which made for a hard way to get around the house quietly.
It did. It was a good
up the set drama. Piece.
So they get away and Matilda says, somebody's got to teach her a lesson. So she goes home and her mom is talking to the FBI guys, which was a really fun scene. Matilda's like, Dad, yell at me. She wants to get in trouble because she realizes that like people being mad at her helps her use her magic. And so
kind of like the Jedi, right? The Sith use their angry feelings to use their power, yeah, the Sith, and the Jedi use their good feelings.
So she does end up using her magic through anger, but then refines it and becomes a Jedi and can just use it willy-nilly by practicing.
She starts by getting angry, then she hones her skills through practice.
Yeah, and we get some kind of cool scenes of her honing her magic. The one with all the cards and stuff flying around the living room was pretty well done.
Mm-hmm. No, it was good.
I was actually kind of impressed
by that. When she fed herself cereal. And the spoon just floated in front of her.
Yeah, the effects were pretty good. I wasn't expecting to have all of those like really magical scenes, but they were well done and pretty cool. So good job, movie. She uses her magic to screw with the cops who are trying to get into her house and get some evidence.
Illegally, without a search warrant.
Without a search warrant.
That's why she punishes them.
She does punish them.
Because they're breaking the rules.
Then she goes back to Ms. Honey's house where her doll was, that her childhood doll, and she gets it by floating it out the window.
Oh, like Miss Trunchbull's house?
Yeah. But unfortunately, Matilda's always wearing ribbons in her hair, and as she's doing all these heroics, the ribbon gets untied and left behind. Miss Trunchbull finds it and realizes that it's Matilda.
Who stole all her things and then also tormented her.
She did torment her, yes.
She like made her think her house was haunted by Miss Honey's dead father.
Yep.
And, like, moved all this stuff around, and Ms. Trunchbull got scared.
Yeah. She even, like, writes something at one point. Or no, that's later. Yeah. So
but she, like, puts the picture of her dad back over the fireplace.
Yeah.
Because Ms. Trunchbull replaced it with, like, a horrid self-portrait. So she really goes all out with a haunting.
She really did, actually, yeah.
Haunting of Trunchbull Manor.
That's a good one. I'd watch that. So we're at school the next day, and Ms. Trunchbull goes to Ms. Honey, and she's like, I'm teaching your class today. And she basically uses that time to try to torment Matilda and get revenge.
She's like, I know this ribbon is yours, basically. Yep. I know you were at my house messing with me.
But Matilda was able to, again, to use her powers to get out of it. She tortures Ms. Trunchbull again. She makes her think that the ghost of Magnus, who is Ms. Honey's dead dad, is haunting her. She really, really messes with her. And basically chases Ms. Trunchbull out of the school.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, runs away, and then Ms. Honey takes over the school, basically. She's the new principal. Everything's going really great. Matilda goes over to the house all the time to hang out with Ms. Honey.
Ms. Honey gets her OG house back, because Trunchbull signs it over to her and all her wealth. That was what the ghost demanded. Like, give Ms. Honey back her house.
Yep. So, like, things are going really well. But then, one day after school, the Wormwoods speed over to Ms. Honey's house with sirens blaring in the background and are like, we gotta go. We're going to Guam.
And which is a U.S. territory, so fleeing from the FBI to Guam is not a smart idea.
I think that was kind of the point, was to show that they're kind of stupid. But it was really good. And I actually thought that this was kind of sweet. Like, they were they put in the minimal effort to be parents here. They were like, oh yeah, we have a daughter. Let's go grab her. So that was nice.
That's a very low standard have set for them.
But they were like, you know, we've got to go. Come on, Matilda. And Matilda's like, I don't want to go to Guam. And so she just so happened to have drafted up adoption papers a really long time ago and convinces her parents to sign the adoption papers. And Ms. Honey adopts her.
I feel like you need a lawyer for that. I feel like you can't just sign that over.
Probably. I don't super know how it works. It does. It feels like something that would have to happen like in a court.
There has to be a witness that signs it or something.
Yeah. But they do it. And Ms. Honey adopts Matilda. And they kind of live happily ever after, basically. They're kindred souls.
Yep. And she gets to use magic to get books out of the bookshelf at night.
But she said, they say that she doesn't really need to use magic anymore because her life is pretty good. And I was kind of like, well, it doesn't really matter. I'd be using magic all the damn time anyway because I literally have magic. So why wouldn't I use magic?
I feel like I would gain weight because I wouldn't move anymore. I'd have things come to me all the time, you know?
Just like brain around.
Floated over to me.
So yeah, that was a very kind of abbreviated look at Matilda. This is another one of those movies where they really kind of filled a lot of, especially the early part of the movie, to the brim. It didn't have a lot of fast cuts, but the scenes were pretty full. There's a lot of details and stuff that they were fitting in.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, I'm not, I guess what I'm saying is, like, in terms of giving a recap, there was a lot to discuss. There was a lot of side plots with, like, the FBI and her powers and, like, the family dynamic between Ms. Trunchbull and stuff. Maybe I just did a bad job of explaining it. I don't know.
I feel like a lot of the beginning of the movie was like exposition, setting things up. And towards the end was more action.
Yeah, but I felt like that exposition was like a lot more happened. And then the action, this was actually one of the things that was a little bit of a negative for me. The action parts of the movie really dragged.
Yes.
She tortured Ms. Trunchbull for a pretty damn long time.
Or the scene when they were in the house trying to hide from her took forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
For, like, literally forever. I think I was trying to put myself in, like, the shoes of a little kid watching this. And I think maybe I would have appreciated it a little bit more because it was, like, very action-packed. But, like, as an adult, the stakes were, like, obviously not there.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe as a kid, I would have been like, oh my gosh, these are high stakes, and like actually get invested in that scene a little bit, you know? But as an adult, it didn't really land.
I was more invested in Kevin McAllister trying to beat up the sticky bandits than I was Matilda trying to torture Miss Trunchbull, to be honest.
Yeah. And this is kind of like starting to be like a little bit of a theme with some of our movies that are aimed at younger audiences. It's like they have a whole lot of exposition and stuff in the beginning, and then the end just slows to a crawl. When they like actually start to have the conflict and like the action, it just like literally slows to a crawl.
Yeah, I mean, Free Willy.
Yeah,
for sure.
It has some parallels there where it was like the action bit of it, they had to show everything. There was nothing left to the imagination.
Mm-mm.
Like it literally showed every time Miss Trunchbull did something, it showed it. Every time Miss Honey did something, it showed it. Every time Matilda did something, they showed it, you know? But yeah, I mean, like, overall, though, I had a pretty fun time watching it. Outside of the end dragging a little bit, and it wasn't as bad as some, as, like, Free Willy. We really need something else to compare this to. But, like, it was pretty fun. And it definitely made it a lot better because Mara Wilson is super good. She did really well. She had a ton of lines in this movie, and she was just adorable.
Yeah, my first note for the like says Matilda is adorable.
Yeah.
She just plays like the innocence of a kid, but also has personality. She does such a good job of balancing that. It's like, I don't even know how to put it, like having original thoughts and ideas, but also having like a little innocent spin on it is so good. And like the creative ways that she punishes Miss Trunchbull and like problem solves. She's obviously a brilliant little kid, but she's still a kid and that still shines through.
Yeah.
She's so charming.
And yeah, I feel like that bit about being wicked smart is hard to do in an endearing way,
mm-hmm.
because you're asking a lot of your child actor there. They have to do a lot of acting, you know, that's reaching outside of their experience. Because, and that's tough,
yeah,
as a 7-year-old or whatever.
Mm-hmm. When your brain is still actively developing and like,
yeah,
it's hard to even comprehend what this person's asking you to do by like,
you don't have life experiences to draw from. Your brain isn't even developed to the point where you can like sympathize with people and understand, like put yourself in other people's shoes all the way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So her performance in this movie really impressed me because of that.
She's so good.
And she also had a lot of scenes where she was like on screen for prolonged periods of time. You know, some way that I've noticed other movies will make up for the fact that they're using little kids is they'll cut away from them. So you have lots of short takes that you can stitch together. That was not the case with this movie.
She carried a lot of scenes on her own.
Yeah.
Especially the beginning, all the montage scenes of her like learning how to read and going to the library and things like that.
I think she was literally stronger than Ms. Honey.
Oh, for sure. Easily.
So, yeah, that was kind of wild. Like how good she was. And not unsurprisingly, for sure. But, you know, it should be applauded. Like, it was the strongest part of the movie.
Yes, easily. Hands down. I also said that her parents were perfectly horrible.
Yep.
Like, I felt like sometimes the trope of Miss Trunchbull got a little, like, kitschy in some ways, or corny and over the top, but I thought her parents were perfect. Like, I loved her dad's character of trying to like show he's kind of sketchy, like making him the used car salesman, and showing his like shop that he like doctored cars up to get more for their buck and stuff like that. I loved her mom. Like, her mom's job was playing bingo.
Yep. It
was hilarious.
Yeah. And like, they were just bad enough parents that you didn't really feel bad for them for the stuff that was happening, but they weren't mm-hmm. so horrible that you were rooting for bad things to happen to them. You know what
I mean?
It's
a fine line to walk. My favorite thing, though, the entire movie is when Miss Honey comes over to the Wormwood's house to like say, oh, Matilda's really special. She could go to college. Like, she's great. And her brother Michael offers her a beer when she walks in.
Yeah.
And you know he's just used to doing that to his parents when they come home or he sees an adult. It's like, oh, you want a beer?
Yeah, that was really
so
funny.
I loved that so much.
One other thing I just remembered was that one of the FBI agents was definitely Pee Wee Herman.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely him. But yeah, I don't know. There was a lot of charm and a lot of the characters were really good. One thing I thought that they were trying to do with Miss Trunchbull was try to make her a little bit more tragic of a character, because they were like talking about the Olympics and how she didn't get her dreams and like, you know, showing her like still working on those things. And then that kind of just like stopped for the last like 30 minutes of the movie. I almost like would have wanted to see a little more of that. Maybe I was misreading the situation, but it felt like they were setting that up and I was kind of liking it.
Yeah, I think she was just pretty horrid through and through. They didn't even try to redeem her character at all. In fact, I think they made her character worse.
That was the thing, is there was the scene of her driving away to like go practice her Olympic stuff. And that's mm-hmm. where in my head I was like, oh, they're starting to show her past a little bit more and why she's so horrible. And then it literally ended there. I was like, nope, never mind. It was literally like at that part of the movie. It was a nosedive of redeemable qualities for her.
Mm-hmm. They made her the ultimate villain. And I think one thing I didn't like, just to jump into that piece about Miss Trunchbull specifically, is sometimes when you have a really scary character, they're scary because they're unpredictable.
Mm.
And she was very predictable. Anytime someone acted up, a kid was going to get thrown or a kid was going to get put in the chokey. There was no surprises.
She didn't like mix up her torture even.
No, it became like a trope that she was just throwing things all the time and using her Olympic skills throwing. And I would have appreciated a little bit more of a chilling, like, that's why you love Professor Snape, right? You don't really know what he's going to do.
Or even if he's going to lash out, mm-hmm. it even surprises you when he lashes out. And then that's almost makes it worse.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a good villain teacher, and I don't think that Miss Trunchbull lived up to that expectation.
No, yeah, especially the last, like, literally 20 to 30 minutes of the movie was just her, like, Terminator-ing around and, like, stomping and throwing and having a tantrum, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, plus the pacing, definitely kind of, like, really turned me off of her character. And then I had to watch her eat chocolate.
You really hated that.
It was really awful. I hated it. But, yeah, overall, it had a lot of charm.
All the kids, like all her classmates too, were super cute. Like her best friends at school.
Yeah.
Adorable.
Yeah.
Adorable.
What was her name? Lavender. She was absurdly cute. I looked her up. She like hasn't done much acting since, which like really made me sad because she was super cute in this movie.
I loved all the classmates. I think they did a great job casting the kids.
They really did. It was really cute. And I think they captured like the idea of a terrible school really well.
Mm-hmm.
Where it wasn't just like only terrible. They were still learning and like there was rebellion in the right ways. Like Ms. Honey's classroom had all of the cute drawings and color and stuff, but anytime Miss Trunchbull was coming, they had to tear it all down.
Like they had like a drill.
Yeah, they literally had the Trunchbull drill to, you know, literally like fold down hidden compartments and stuff to make it look doomy and gloomy again. So like that attention to detail, and I wonder how much of that was from Danny DeVito. The attention to detail in this movie was really, really cool. Oh, and I'm just so proud of myself. I want to call this out. I found an Easter egg in this movie. As the kids are running Ms. Trunchbull out of the school, they're all throwing food at her. And so they're going into their lunch boxes to grab food to launch at her. And it stayed a little extra on a specific lunchbox. And I was like, I wonder if that was on purpose. Because what it said was greeting from Asbury Park, New Jersey. And I was like, that has to mean something. So I looked it up. And that's where Danny DeVito is from.
That's where Bruce Springsteen's from, too. Or maybe Bon Jovi. Maybe he's from Asbury Park. The three of them are from that area, though. Either
maybe
way,
they were all friends. Who knows?
Circling back, though, because, you know, the scene you were talking about where, like, they cover up all the fun things in the classroom and make it dull and boring looking.
Yeah.
Even, like, the rule page flips down.
Yep.
It reminded me of, as a kid, we had a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses in my neighborhood as a kid who would walk around and knock on the doors.
Yeah.
So we had, like, a little drill that when they came, you would, like, turn the lights off and, like, hit the floor. So when they knocked and looked in your windows, they couldn't see anybody. That's what this reminded me of.
Oh, my God. That's pretty funny.
Good times. I feel bad. I mean, nothing against Jehovah's Witnesses, but we just didn't feel like talking about Jesus on our porch for an hour, you know?
Yep.
So we hit the deck. We turn the lights off. Sometimes we do the blinds if we're fast enough. They probably saw us doing it.
What else, though? What else did you love about this one?
I guess a couple things. I did like, we talked a little bit about this, but all the scenes of the magic of her floating things and making things move around, it was great.
The one of her practicing to the Little Bitty Pretty One song was adorable. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And that was the one of the special effects that were wicked good.
Mm-hmm. And even the end scene, like I do feel like, although it dragged, her ultimate revenge was really cool. Because Matilda's like, well, what scares Miss Trunchbull? And they thought maybe cats did. And then they found out she had this big secret around Miss Honey's dad's death. And, like, Matilda latched onto that fear and just pulled it out. And I thought it was cool how she made this ghost come back and mess with her house. And he put his portrait back up on the wall. And then at this school, he wrote, like, his message on the chalkboard.
Yeah.
Using insider family secrets to basically run her out and say, give my daughter back the house type thing and get out of here. That was a well-done revenge story, because you're not rooting for Miss Trunchbull at all.
No, but I also like that she had good motivation where she was trying to do it for Miss Honey and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice balance, and they set up the motivation nice and early with her, like, wanting to punish adults who are misbehaving and stuff. Like,
mm-hmm.
It all came full circle very nicely, like surprisingly nicely for a kid's movie. Like, they didn't need to do that. They could have just like had her beat up the bully and that would have been fine for most kids' movies.
Yeah, but it was in character for Matilda.
100%.
So, and I just, who doesn't love a good revenge story? Sometimes you think about in your head all the time how you would, you know, come out on top. And I thought this was a very satisfying revenge ending.
The other thing that I really liked was the running joke with the "they're cops." It was
mm-hmm.
so funny.
Mm-hmm.
So funny. Just her deadpan walking through the house being like, "they're cops." And they're like, "no, we're not. We're speedboat salesmen." And she's like, "they're cops." Like, they just did that over and over again. And I like actually laughed out loud. It was really good. And Mara Wilson had great comedic timing on it, too. It was really funny.
All I was waiting for was them to do that trope of, if you're a cop, you have to tell me if you're a cop.
Yeah, literally. Oh, man. It was really funny, though. I liked that bit a lot.
Anything else you enjoyed? Or are you ready to jump into maybe some things that you didn't enjoy that much?
Well, I said this one already, but I just want to hammer it home. Danny DeVito did a really good job as the narrator.
Yeah. Yep.
It was great. It was really good calling back to the movie. It tied the movie together. It was used in really good ways. Like, it was a voiceover every time on, like, to, like, help you follow character development. And like, if I'm putting myself in the shoes of a little kid, I think that that was really solid to help anchor you in the movie and stuff. But it wasn't like pandering or something. I'm really impressed with the narration of the movie.
Yeah, I want him to do books on tape now.
I'd listen to that, yeah. He did a great job, and it was used masterfully as well. That's the important bit for me. It was like successfully done and successfully implemented. So I wasn't expecting it. It shocked me, and it was really nice.
I think he did a good job of explaining thought processes for Matilda, because she still is a kid and she's acting, you know, so it's not, it was a nice way to do like tell, not show for such a young person.
But it wasn't the right balance.
It wasn't in your face, though. Like the whole thing where he explains Matilda's dad said people deserve to be punished, not children deserve to be punished. Yeah. And that's when she realized that. You know, you can punish adults when they're bad.
Exactly.
Like, explaining that thought process for us for Matilda was really helpful, but it was, again, it wasn't... Matilda then went to the bookstore, and she found out that she can read at age 4. You know what I mean? It wasn't like... It was explaining bigger, overarching ideas that would have been harder to portray.
Yeah, it was a very good balance. Mm-hmm. Looking back on it, it kind of felt like getting a story read to you in a way, where then you... You know, your parent is doing such a good job that you then, like, actually start to, like, drift visualize off a little bit and visualize it. And then you hear their voice in the back of your head. Like, it felt like that. It was really cool. So, I loved that bit. But, yeah, dislikes. What stuck out to you?
The biggest dislike, and I feel like I say this often, but, like, the pacing. There's a lot of really long scenes that drag, which we talked about, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. But, like, the home invasion scene... And the ending, like, revenge scene.
Way too long.
Very, like, very long.
Like, 50% too long.
Mm-hmm. And even, like, some of the beginning exposition, like, maybe not the beginning, but, like, some of, like, the school scenes I thought dragged, too.
Yeah. But I kind of liked them, especially the ones where we got some of the other children. Because it was nice to have that whole school feeling. Where it wasn't only the Matilda story when she was at school. It was cool to have the supporting cast, but the pacing was definitely off at times.
The pacing was a little rough. The other thing that really stuck out to me was there was this whole thing where Miss Honey told Matilda, like, they say my dad died by suicide, but I don't believe it. And then Matilda's like, yeah, I don't think Magnus killed himself either. And then they just, like, don't. There's no conclusion to that. It's kind of just like a dead end where they're like hinting that Miss Trunchbull like murdered her dad and it's never like resolved or like discussed. She just flees and is never talked about again.
I think our takeaway is supposed to be that that's definitely what happened and that's even more motivation for why Matilda did what she did.
Yeah, it just felt weird though to throw in there and then not have it concluded.
No, you're not wrong at all.
It felt really awkward. I was like, wait, what about Magnus?
Yeah.
Like, they're just going to use his ghost to kick her out, but nothing's going to come of it. I don't know. It was weird. That stuck out to me.
No, that's a good one.
I also didn't really like Miss Honey's character.
No, she was kind of weak, and she wasn't acted as strong either.
Yeah, like, her character came off as very passive to me.
I think they were trying to say it was like... Like, for lack of a better word, almost, like, beaten into her, literally, you know, from the actions of her terrifying aunt. But I don't think it came across as strongly.
Yeah, I feel like for most of the movie, Matilda was the one driving the action and solving problems and getting things done. And Miss Honey was just, like, along for the ride for most of it.
Like, call CPS, dude. You're in your 20s.
Yeah, like this.
You went to college.
This person is actively, like, torturing children at the school, and, like, her parents are terrible.
She just, like, makes sad faces at the situation.
I don't know. She just felt very passive. And, like, even Matilda's like, let's go in this house and steal back your treasures. And then they get caught in the house, and Miss Honey is just like, oh, sorry, I was in here looking for stuff. And, like, acted like an adult and resolved that situation where they didn't get, like, hunted down, basically.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just, I wasn't a huge fan of her character. And I also, this is nitpicky, but I don't like that she invited her student over to her house and, like, let the student hang out with her outside of school hours all the time. I felt like that was weird.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
It's not normal. It's not typical.
I don't think it's a bad thing that it happened.
I think it's weird, especially without asking her parents' permission. I'm like, hey, just come over to my house after school. Like, that's weird. That's not okay as a teacher.
It didn't bother me.
I didn't like it. Kinda. Maybe my whole family is, they're all teachers, and then I have worked in a school, though, not a teacher myself. Like, it's definitely a weird thing. It's not the norm. It's definitely a boundary thing. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing, but it didn't bother me.
It bothered me. I didn't like it.
I have a nitpick.
Okay. Well, yours is probably much more nitpicky than mine.
Oh, super. I hate the stupid trope of humans only use a small percentage of their brain. I hate it. I hate it. It's not true. End of rant.
What other things use that trope?
There was literally an entire movie based on it with Bradley Cooper where he took drugs and could control his brain more.
Oh, Limitless?
Yeah.
Okay, so one other
trope. And wasn't it? This is a huge trope. It's in tons of stuff.
I don't doubt you. I'm just being a pain in the butt to get you riled up.
If I could use more of my brain, I could.
You could remember it better.
I hate that trope. It's not real. It's lazy writing.
Well, would you rather have Matilda was like shot on by like a sparkly fairy in her crib and now she has magical powers?
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
Honestly, yes. if literally the backstory to it was when she was in the hospital, a fairy pooped on her.
Now she can do magic.
And is wicked smart. I would have been like, cool. That makes sense to me. I like to live in that world. So that's my nitpick.
You know what? I don't hate it. I'm not going to fight you on that one.
The other scene that I really hated, well, we've talked about it a lot, the trench bowl scene, but then the other one that I hated was the cake scene. I already said it, but it was so gross. It went on way too long. It was way too gross. Oh, God.
It's like the one thing I remembered from this movie that knew there was something with cake that, like, scarred me, and I couldn't remember what it was.
I can absolutely see why. It was literally, like, 5 minutes of the damn movie of this kid just, like, eating chocolate cake, and it was all over his face, and everybody was watching, and it was just like you just had to hear it, and I hate hearing people eat, and it was like kept going. I was like, please God, save me from this hell.
I was more of just like having trouble because you know how chocolatey a chocolate cake is about milk.
Yeah,
like it's so rich, and I just felt it wasn't the sounds and watching, it was just me thinking about eating it and wanting to like vomit.
Yeah, I didn't like it, and it was just way too long.
Also, why do all, like, Trunchbull later eats the cake, too, and she just eats it with her bare hands. Icing. She grabs the icing and shoves it in her mouth.
I don't know, man.
Does she lick it off her hand when she's done?
I don't want to think about it.
Oh.
Is there anything else that you didn't like?
Like I said, I feel like Trunchbull was a bit too much of a caricature.
Yeah.
Towards the end, that I just don't think she was that good of a villain. She was evil, but I don't think she was, like, a good, solid villain.
Yeah.
And this is a personal thing, but I don't really like slice of life movies. And mm-hmm. I feel like this one edged more on a slice of life over a coming of age. Because Matilda was pretty consistent throughout the whole movie. And she was kind of the main hero that was driving the action and solving all the problems. And she was kind of just smart from the start. And that just continued on. With a little growth. Like, she honed her magical powers. She came out of her shell a little bit more. But it felt more slice of life-y to me than anything. And I'm not a fan of slice of life.
Yeah.
I feel like the action, like, it wasn't really building up to anything.
Well, I guess, like, her leaving her family and getting into a household that loved her.
Yeah, but that's not something that you can, like, plot for necessarily. It was more like lucky happenstance in some ways.
Yeah, I can see that.
So.
I can't really debate it. It's personal preference, so.
Yeah, I'm just not into it, personally.
Yeah.
That type of genre. And I forgot how much this movie is kind of that.
Yeah. Well, how do you think this one aged then? Because, you know, there was definitely a healthy handful of good things and a healthy handful of things that were potentially not as strong. Where do you line up on this?
Yeah, this is hard for me because honestly, going into this before we talked about it, I really felt like it was a milk. And then you talking with me made me feel like it was probably better than I am feeling. Like, my gut is telling me it's a milk, but, like, when we talk about it, I'm like, oh, maybe it is a wine. You know what I mean?
I think it's almost like the movie really hamstrung itself by having all of the crappy pacing be at the end. Because your final takeaway of the movie is, like, 20 to 30 minutes that could be considerably faster.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going through it and you're enjoying it. And then it just like you feel like you're walking through molasses, you know?
The opening was really strong. I said, like, the first half hour was really strong. And then, honestly, even, like, the last hour, I was kind of struggling to sit through. Not sit through, but, like, the pacing really started to be a problem.
You're getting fidgety.
Mm-hmm. So, and, like, the story was cute. Like, Mara Wilson was amazing. Danny DeVito was amazing. I think there was a lot of really good things. But, like, I don't even want to say aged poorly and it's a milk now. I just feel like it wasn't really a great movie to begin with.
It didn't make a profit, which is wild.
Yeah, and I think you were onto something with that, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that by judging it from the jump about money, but, like, numbers maybe don't lie when it comes to that a little bit.
So, what's your vote?
I have no desire to really watch this anytime soon. If you watch it as a kid and you're, like, thinking about what movie from my childhood could I watch now, like, to just revisit, you know? Like, this would not be anywhere near my top recommendations of something to go back to and watch, you know?
So it sounds like you're saying...
No. Yeah, it's hard. I don't want to say the words milk, out loud. But, like, I kind of feel like it's a little... My gut is telling me milk, and I tend to vote for this with my gut more. So I know you kind of take in some more logical factors, and I just vote with emotion, and it's feeling a little milky for me.
I think I'm going to shock you.
What?
I kind of think it was a wine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We flipped. Wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I actually, the pacing really suffered at the end, you know? Maybe watch that at 1.5 speed or something. But for me, the opening bits of it was strong enough. And I don't know, I really got sucked in by Mara Wilson's performance. It was so fun. It was so endearing and so cute. And maybe I'm a little bit, I'm a little bit suckered by how well some of the effects aged as well. But
you,
like,
love your effects.
I'm just, like, looking at it, I'm like, you know what? I'm a little bit pleasantly surprised by this one. I'm wondering how much of it is that we, going into it, you were thinking wine and going into it, I was thinking milk. So yeah. Our expectations, you know, might have colored it. But yeah, it's not a strong wine at all. Like you were saying, I don't know that I would necessarily strongly recommend this to anybody. Maybe if you have kids. But, like, it was cute. It was fun. I'm really impressed with Danny DeVito's performance and interpretation of this. So it was narrow. But for me, I think it's a wine.
Well, you know what? That makes me a little happy. And that's the thing, too. As you're talking about it, your excitement was making me excited again.
Yeah.
So it was nice. It was refreshing to have this conversation. And I think it made me definitely feel like it's less of a milk than I was, if you asked me yesterday.
Yeah.
After we watched it.
I was definitely feeling a little bit milky yesterday, but, like, thinking about it and revisiting it, enough of it was okay that it's a wine for me. And I think really the big thing is that it is intended for very young audiences. And that's why I think it aged a little bit stronger. If this was, like, a movie intended for, like, you know, 20 somethings to watch, you'd be like, God, no. But, like, if you got little kids, I think it could be fun. If they're fans of, like, Roald Dahl or something and you read the book, it could be a good visit. If you watched it as a kid, like Jenna did, to recommend it to us, it could be fun to revisit to get your take on it, especially if it's a little more nostalgic for you guys than it was for either of us. But it's not a super strong movie for sure.
I think I read the book as a kid after watching it. Like,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure I read the book.
I'd almost be interested to just, like, breeze through the book. I'm imagining I could, like, crush it in, like, 45 minutes. And,
look at you, little speed reader.
A little speed reader here.
A little speed reader.
But I'd be curious to see how it stacks up.
I feel like it would be darker. I feel like the book is probably darker.
Yeah, I could see that.
Maybe. I don't know. Anywho.
But yeah, thank you again, Jenna, for the recommendation. If you guys have any recommendations, please, please let us know. We can be reached in lots of different places. We have a Twitter, @WinerMilk. We have an Instagram, @WinerMilkPodcast. Our Facebook page, facebook.com/WinerMilk. Our email, WinerMilkPodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And our website, WinerMilkPodcast.com.
Many ways to reach us.
Many ways to reach us. Let us know what your nostalgic movies are, what you loved as a kid, and you know what? We might just watch it and let you know our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Kyla gets to pick the next listener recommendation.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that might give you a leg up, depending on what you send in.
Good.
But what are we watching next, Kyle? It's your pick.
It is my pick. And I'm going a little risky.
Risky? Uh-oh.
Just because I don't know. I have no idea how this one is going to age. But I loved it as a kid. Friggin' loved it.
I don't know what you're going to say. I have no idea what you're going to say.
We are going to be watching another Macaulay Culkin movie.
Okay.
Do you know what it is?
Can you guess? Another Macaulay Culkin movie.
I don't even know if you knew that this movie existed.
I only know him in Home Alone.
It is a wonderful little film called The Pagemaster.
I don't think I've ever heard of this
It's
before.
Really cool. It's a combo live action cartoon movie where Macaulay Culkin tried kind of like, I feel like it was kind of coming of agey, kind of like grows up by I think he goes to the library and somehow gets sucked into the real world of the book, of the books. And then, oh, actually, it's more animated than I'm remembering, but it's basically him going through all of these like classic novels.
That's
like there's
cool.
Like a Gulliver's Travel bit, and he's accompanied by books all the way, like literally like walking books.
I'm interested.
It's really interesting. This movie kind of reminded me of it because of all the book stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it as a kid. I super, super, super loved it. But it was one of those ones I watched like a trillion times. And then like I was 9 and I never watched it again. So I can't remember anything.
I definitely don't think I've ever. I don't even heard of it.
There's like one scene that's super, super sticking out in my brain from I think it's like the Gulliver's Travels or whatever book that it is. Swiss Family Robinson. I don't remember. I don't know. But
one of those.
I just like have a flashbulb memory of this, of the shot of the movie. And I'm just really excited to see how this one aged, especially because we watched Home Alone and Macaulay Culkin was just so damn good. I want to see how this one hates. How this one.
Child actors are phenomenal. Yeah, so, I'm excited. Well, the page turner?
Page master.
Yeah. Okay.
It's really cool. It's a fun premise and I'm pumped to revisit it.
This might be the most blind I've ever gotten into any of these movies.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited. Cool.
And it's another animated film. It's got some live action bits. It's got some animated bits. It's a fun combo.
Cool. Well, I'm actually excited to watch this now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you all so much for listening.
And have a wonderful day or night or drive, wherever you're listening.
Or walk or sleep. I don't know. Oh my god, people might fall asleep to our voices. That's weird.
It probably happens more often than not because we're so boring.
Yeah, probably like accidentally. Well, that was a wonderful little advertisement for you and your friends to listen to more of our podcast.
You know?
We'll put you right to bed.
Take care of that late night insomnia right away.
Anyway, thank you for listening. We'll see you real soon with The Pagemaster.
Adios.